Welcome to Paperback Bromance. This is a podcast where we read modern and classic romance novels and give them in-depth reviews. But here's the thing. They can only be secondhand novels. We have to drink boxed wine. And Matt has read the book. I'm David Joseph, the guy who has to read all this smut. And I'm here
with Matt.
And I'm Phoebe, who reads the steamy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Paperback Bromance, brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Main Made Elixirs. As always, I am Matt. I am joined here today by David and Phoebe, as always. But today we also have a very special guest, one of my good friends and the wife of David, Carla. Welcome, Carla, to the show.
Hey. Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Yay!
How's everybody doing today?
Hey, we're doing all right. We know that the book's going to get a little extra steamy because we have to bring out the big guns.
This one's extra steamy. We needed to bring in backup for the steam.
Carla's got all the experience.
I didn't even read the steamy, and this one got me hot and bothered.
Oh, like, my.
Oh, yeah. Even though it's 6 to noon. Classic 6 to noon, you know?
Oh.
Just thinking about it, I can tell what's going on. So this book, we are, in honor of Christmas in the holiday season here, we are reading Snowed In for Christmas by Jacqueline Snow. You guys think that might be a pen name?
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
It's possible.
Probably a pen name. Probably. The tagline is, the fire's aglow, .. So let it snow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So this should be a fun one. It's definitely
it's very much a rom-com.
I'm ready.
It's cool.
It's so definitely ready. Got some baby it's cold outside vibes, but not rapey.
No.
Just very confusing.
Very confusing vibe.
Confusing, angsty. Yeah.
There's a lot going on, but I'll let David get into that real quick before I start my mansplaining.
Yeah, in this episode of Paperback Bromance, we are headed to Illinois. We don't know where, for a very funny and steamy story about second chances and freezing temperatures. This is the tale of Becca Fairfield, a quirky, lovable, and vivacious free spirit of a human being, and her neighbor, the dangerously handsome Harrison Cooper, head coach of the nameless university where they both work, Becca as a sorority mom. After a first date in which they have a great time and share a pretty intense kiss, he ghosts her for the better part of 2 years until a dangerous blizzard rolls into town and for the holidays, creating the perfect storm for emotions and chemistry to both be blazing hot or confusingly cold. And with that, we are going to jump into our first segment, which is Matt Splains This Main Character.
There's really two main characters.
Yeah, but did you only get to meet one?
I really only met one. I mean, I met two, but this is kind of like, you know, it alternates chapters through each perspective.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah.
And I only got one of the characters' perspectives.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite interesting for me. So there's a lot to piece in. Yeah, quite the challenge. But you guys know I'm up for it. I'm pretty good at nailing down these books.
Me personally, I'm actually curious what you think about this because I have some opinions about our own life book.
We'll get to that.
Oh.
Intriguing.
We'll get to that. So right now, I'm going to get to Becca, of course.
Tell me about Becca.
I started off with Becca. She's a sorority house mother, which is really, it's really cool. I've been to a lot of fraternity houses, you know, in the college party days. They didn't have house mothers or house fathers. So I'm wondering why the ladies need to be mothered.
Because there's 50 of them?
There's 50 dudes living in a fraternity house, too. They need to be supervised way more.
Yeah, I guess they're supposed to be like one of the older guys living there, supposed to be the house.
I don't know.
Oh, no, that doesn't sound right.
Massachusetts, I know in Massachusetts that it's illegal for sororities to have alcohol on the premises.
Oh.
Okay.
Because apparently if you give a bunch of women alcohol, they consider it a brothel. So, whole bunch of women living together, give them liquor, it turns them into whores.
Thank you, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
That is their law.
That was a trivia question.
But fraternities can have booze in it.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway, back to Becca.
Yeah, tell me about Becca.
Back to Becca. So she is a very caring house mother. She loves her girls. They love her. It starts off, she's in her PJs feeling like crap. She's sad that all of her girls are going away for winter break.
Oh.
This is just the end of finals and they're getting picked up and she's stuck in this big house by herself. She's stressed. She has to get, of course, the cleaning crew is off for 2 weeks. So now she has to clean this giant house by herself. She has to make sure there's a storm coming.
Yeah, there's a storm coming.
Storm coming.
Oh, dang.
Storm coming. So she's got to make sure she's stocked up with hot cocoa, coffee, wine, you know, the essentials.
Obviously, wine is probably something to eat.
Hot chocolate is a big reoccurring thing in here. Say again. Yeah.
It's top of the list.
Oh, yeah.
Top of the list. Got to have the wine. That's smut juice.
Smut juice.
We're drinking it out of our our branded Dr. Lovejoy and Freedom's Edge ciders. Cups, love that smut juice out of our brand new glassware. Thanks to our sponsors for that.
Yeah.
So she's worried about stocking up. She's in her PJs. She's a little self-conscious. She missed a button. She's wearing pink PJs with suns on them, with sunglasses. Not really.
I feel like I had those in
she's
like
got Miss
my
Frizzle
high school
vibes
years.
For sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
But like a really, a hotter Miss Frizzle.
Yeah. Hot Miss Frizzle. Yeah.
Hot
Frizzle.
Blonde Miss Frizzle.
Ooh.
So like Carla, that. Essentially.
Yeah.
Carla.
100%.
We've got a very sexy crew today. We're lucky we're not too close to the school because we'd get arrested for being too sexy in a school zone. Been pulled over for that before.
Oh,
yeah.
What?
You got to be careful.
Matthew.
I'm sorry. Took my shirt off in the convertible.
Don't do that.
It's not my fault. The bus happened to be in that specific place. Anyway, speaking of school zones, we're back at the college. She's getting ready for all of her sorority girls to head home. Mm-hmm. She's got one coming down like, I wish I didn't have to go. And, you know, she cuddles up with her on the couch, of course.
Yeah, don't get too much into the plot. We're talking about her.
Right. Yeah. So she's very caring. I'm sorry. I almost got into the plot.
That's all right.
But Becca cares. She loves her girls.
Okay.
Their house is right next door to Mr. Harrison.
Okay.
Our football coach of the unnamed school.
And she talks about Harrison a little bit.
She talks
You can kind of judge, you can give me a little.
Well, and she meets him in the first chapter. She runs into him and he's just this big, burly, handsome, chiseled man. As in all of our books,
we haven't met pudgy guy.
Yet. No, come on. No,
not I'm hoping that we
pudgy.
Can get to
no,
one.
No but dad bod. What?
No dad bod, but no, he's not yet. So we're into it.
Lame.
Unbelievable.
Sorry, I like the dad bods, but...
Who doesn't love a good dad bod?
I don't know.
Give me a dad bod and a mesh tank top.
What?
Yeah.
Just try it out.
It's a very specific vibe.
It is quite the vibe.
Just give it a shot.
Only one person could.
All right, so what do you think of Harrison?
I think Harrison is, well, also caring, just like Becca is. He cares for his boys on the football team. He helps take care of them. I'm assuming that this house that he's living in next door is football house. So instead of a fraternity, it's the football team. Or maybe this is just his house and he's living close to campus.
It's just his house.
Okay. So that's just his house. That's nice for him. Campus. He's just right next to a sorority house.
Okay.
Just how it worked out.
Just how it worked out.
Yep.
Oh, darn.
So we've run into him real quick. We find out they went on one date 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They kissed. And then he never talked to her again. So he kind of starts off sounding like a dick.
Yeah. Super classy.
D-bag. He starts off like a D-bag. But it turns out, you know, later on, I'm just talking about the character. He does have, you know, feelings for her. And it was all, this whole thing was a misunderstanding, essentially, is how it goes.
Oh.
Their relationship, that is. But we'll get into it with David actually explaining the plot.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, so I'm going to talk about the main characters. I'm going to start with Becca because I'm still chivalrous in this day and age. Our sweet Becca has a kick-ass heart, too big for her body, but still stern when she needs to be, the sorority mom. So when they're getting out of line, she's right there. There is a mentioning of some mild streaking in the beginning of the
book. Uh-oh. I didn't get that part.
And unlike the frogs, as she called them, of men she has tried to date via her overbearing but equally lovable mother, she is not just a glorified babysitter. This woman is in charge of wrangling 50 college girls. That's a lot of college girls.
That's a lot of college
girls. They're making sure that they're developing into decent human beings, all while organizing fundraisers and doing charity work, you know, getting t-shirts made and
wet t-shirt contests.
No,
and
no.
All what? No, not wet t-shirt contests.
Matthew.
And out of the college gutter. All while being this wildly colorful, boisterous, and lovable person who still knows when to take time to chill and just have a nice sit-down reality show and a mug of hot chocolate or wine. Despite being all of these awesome things, guys just find her to be too much. She's too colorful. She's too talkative. She's just too Becca, even though she's a bona fide bombshell. And I'm going to move on to our broody brood, that is Harrison Cooper, recently divorced from what sounded like a pretty toxic relationship. Our coach Cooper.
Been there, done that.
Is at the end of a losing season and afraid he may be sacked in the next year. So he's not, you know,
oh dear.
If he doesn't turn things around. So he's not doing so great. Mm-hmm. His team isn't meshing. They're partying too much. And he is in just the funkiest of funks. His golden child brother, on the other hand, is going to the bowl. We don't know which one, just the bowl.
One of them.
There's many of them, but this is the one that they were
going to. Well, he's going to one of them.
This is the one that he wanted to go to, but his brother's going to it instead.
Fuck him.
Mm-hmm. This guy thinks too little of himself and has put 8-foot grump stockade around his heart. His parents favor the youngest, but he can at least still commiserate with his sister, who is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, and he doesn't date because the marriage was that bad, except for the one that he had with Becca that he then ghosted her on, which doesn't make any sense. And with that,
she's awesome.
We're going to roll into our next segment, which is
Matt Splains the Plot.
Yeah,
Matt Splains the Plot.
Please.
All right,
do.
Man.
I've got some splaining to do.
I do
have some splaining to do.
I love that.
So we start off, I believe I dug into this a little bit at first. Mm. We start off with Becca on the couch watching HGTV.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking about how magical it is.
How magical it is.
Carly, you mean, can.
It is pretty magical.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of Carla's favorite things to watch.
Yeah.
It sucks her in. She's just 3 hours of Love It or List It. Just,
oh, yeah.
She can watch those marathons all day.
I was always more about the revamping.
Yeah, same.
Repainting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which you are absolutely.
Home makeover ones.
Yeah. Well, Love It or List It did some of that.
Or like,
and Carla's like Property Brothers, which was kind of the same thing.
Or the ones where the neighbors swap. And
yeah,
then,
and redo their rooms. And then they're like, oh my gosh.
You're talking about wife swap?
I hate
this.
No, the neighbors swap houses and redo certain.
Oh, not like, wives.
Not the one.
That's a different
there
show.
There is that, yeah.
I thought that was just a Chappelle
I don't think
skit.
That
anyway.
Was a
anyway.
No, that was,
no, that was a different station for sure.
Anyway. Please,
they just, right, they actually
please
just
go on.
That, but that's
anyway, we digress.
We do digress. So she's watching HGTV. One of her girls comes down. She's, I don't want to go home. And she's like, why? What's the matter? She says she doesn't have favorites, but if she did, this girl's in her, Marissa, mm-hmm. I believe it was, is in her top three.
Oh.
So she sits down next to her on the couch and they snuggle up together. And she's like, why? What's going on? You know, and she's like, I thought you loved your family. Said, yeah, my parents are going through hard times. And she gives her some advice. She, you know, throws an arm around her, gives her a hug and makes her feel better about
nice,
going
yeah.
back.
Okay.
Now another girl comes down and okay. she's just like, okay, so you know how I live on the top floor, right? And she's like, yeah, I know where your room is. I'm familiar. She's like, well, you know how my window sticks, right? Well, I was trying to unstuck it, and I unstuck it a little too hard, and I shattered everything.
Oh, no. Oh,
and then the wind came, and it blew all of my clothes out the window, and they're all over the roof in the yard.
What?
So is she naked now? No.
Just all
she
the
came
clothes
downstairs dressed.
Yeah.
But how did they get outside? And immediately Becca's like, huh?
Huh.
This is suspect.
She's just, well, at first she's just like, okay, well, let's all gear up and go and get your clothes off the roof and out of the yard.
Yeah. Because
this girl's like, my mother hates it when I lose things. You know that. And I was like, well, okay, that's good. Yeah. And she's like, was she like smoking a doobie and trying to air it out and end up throwing a bunch of shirts out the window by mistake?
Oh, dear.
Or did she rip a fart? Like, this is literally what is the thought.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
just,
that
made me laugh out loud. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing. That's so funny.
She's like, did she just, you know, crack a rat, rip a real stanker and need to air it out and then just shattered the window?
Oh,
and
dear.
No, girls don't do that.
Yeah, no.
And when they do, it smells like bakery fresh cinnamon.
Yes.
Rolls.
And there's glitter
definitely.
Everywhere.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why she opened the window to get rid of the glitter.
Oh, yeah, the glitter microplastics. Yes. We got to get those out of there.
Got to get those out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So they strap up their parkas. Of course, Becca has a bright pink parka and a yellow hat that she knitted herself.
Naturally.
Yeah, she's a voracious knitter.
Loves knitting. She says the stitches aren't great, but it's warm and that's what matters.
Mm-hmm.
So they go out and she's chasing down this red blouse. And of course, the wind picks up again, mm-hmm. blows it into whose yard? Mr. Harrison's.
Naturally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I shouldn't say Mr. Harrison. His first name is Harrison, but, you know, either Coach Harrison.
Whatever.
Coach Cooper.
Goes into his yard. She's chasing after it. She's like, oh, shit. Well, he's got family in town. He's probably not home. Looking in his window, like, I don't want to run into this guy. Oh, all right. Lights are off. Should be good. Goes into the yard. What happens? Wind picks up again. Blows it right onto his front porch.
Oh, dear.
So now she's, like, creeping up the front porch, like, looking in the windows, like, hey, is he going to see me? I don't want to run into him. I really don't want to run into him. She gets the shirt off the railing. On her way back down, she wants to celebrate, do a dance, misses a step, falls flat on her ass.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Busts her tailbone.
That's like a classic Phoebe movie.
It's definitely a classic Phoebe move. You've done that recently, I feel like.
This is when we're starting to realize that Becca might be a bit of a klutz. A
little bit of a klutz. So she's like, all right, well, that was loud, but he's not home, so hopefully it's fine. And then she's getting up and walking away, and then he's just like, hi.
Oh, no.
And it's this whole...
This is awkward.
Yeah, awkward situation. She's trying to play it off, and he's just like, yeah, all these clothes... All these clothes blew out the window and I'm trying to get them. And he's like, you expect me to believe that? And she's like, yeah, kinda. He's like, so what was that noise? She's like, I fought a raccoon. It's almost like with a question mark. It's very unconvincing. Yeah. And then he's like, you fell, didn't you? And she's like, yeah.
I slipped and fell.
Anyway, I gotta go. So she leaves and, you know, helps get all her girls packed up,
mm-hmm.
and they leave, and she's now stuck in this house with a broken window. She's got a list of things to do. She's got to clean the house, make sure, you know, food deliveries are happening. She's got to do an insurance claim, clean up the broken glass. She gets cut with the broken glass.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And then she's like trying to duct tape a tarp over the window until she can find a window guy. She's like, is there a window guy? Is that like even a thing? Like, I feel like I should know how to do this, but I don't.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
This is a very depressing start to someone's holiday.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah. And this guy funny. Who she's like got a big crush on that ghosted her 2 years ago just saw her fall on her ass on his porch.
And they're
like,
next door neighbors.
They're neighbors.
Right. She has not spoken to him since the first date that they had and he ghosted her.
Ugh.
That's pretty awkward.
I hate that.
It's very awkward. And of course, it's because he's dealing with his ex-wife stuff and she doesn't know the whole extent of it.
Mm.
And I mean, nobody if she's living with 50 hot sorority girls, it's not exactly a welcoming, hey, come talk to me about this.
Yeah.
It is not implied that they are attractive in any way, shape, or form.
Oh,
only that Becca is.
It could be one of those ugly sororities.
They're
could
sorority
be...
girls.
That's true.
But every campus has a backup sorority for the ugly ones.
Some of them were comfortable streaking, and, and shame on you for that.
I'm not saying they're ugly. I'm just saying that's, like, you know, the implication.
Fair enough.
Like,
there's the, you know, the, like, everyone has a backup school,
okay,
right?
Moving on.
I'm just saying. There's just Harvard, saying. But if you don't get into Harvard, you go somewhere else. If you don't get into Beta Psi, you go to, you know, Sigma Pi. I'm making them up. I'm sure it's a thing.
Clearly you are.
It's just Greek letters.
I know.
I'm
familiar. Anything else happening in the story?
Yeah, lots of things happening. Lots of things are happening in this story. It's mostly banging. So this big, great blizzard of 2013, I think, is 2023.
Oh, no. I think, yeah.
It's inspired by the blizzard of 2013.
Yep.
So I don't know when the book actually takes place. I didn't read that much of it. But I read enough to know she ends up over at his house,
mm-hmm.
and they end up bumping uglies for like a week. She wanted wine, but of course he's this grizzled man. All he's got's whiskey.
Naturally.
They got hot chocolate, though. Lots of hot chocolate by the fire. Mm-hmm. They have some deep conversations, family stuff, school stuff. They're both caring for these students. He's taking care of his football team. She's taking care of her sorority girls.
Right.
And they're both very involved in their lives, which is where they find the common ground. They're both very caring people. And they're also both very sexy people. Mm-hmm. And they are putting their stuff together.
Okay.
Little whiskey, talking about feelings, hang out by the fire, back to bumping uglies.
Well, they have to sleep by the fire.
They have to sleep by the fire because the power's out. Mm-hmm. They got no heat, sleeping by, cuddled up right next to the fire. You know, it was for survival. The sex was for survival, to stay warm.
How did they end up in the same house?
She went over there because her power was out. She didn't have a fireplace.
Oh.
I'm guessing. Maybe. Probably. We'll find out. We'll find out after David corrects me. But they're drinking some whiskey hot cocoa.
Right. Okay.
They're rubbing on each other's stuff. Uh-huh. They both like each other's mouths and what those do.
Yeah.
Big fans of that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. In multiple ways.
Remember, they read the steamy parts, so.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys know.
So how did it end, Matthew?
Well, it ends with, you know, the storm's over.
Yeah.
He's on the phone with his sister, who he's close with, not his brother. And then, you know, he's all saying like, well, sex is sex sometimes, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's what she overhears in the other room. And she's like, well, gone leaving.
Right.
And leaves a note on his door, essentially breaking things off. And she's all distraught.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's like, I thought this was a thing. I didn't know I was just, you know, bang city.
I mean, that sounds par for the course for somebody who ghosts you after one night.
Right.
Right, right, right. So she's back at her sorority house, cleaning up, getting ready. Her mom's calling because she invited him to go to like a family New Year's Eve party. And he's like, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And her mom's just like, all right, well, I RSVP'd for you and a date. And she's like, I don't think I'm coming. She's like, no, they get mad. They waste the food. You have to come. And she's bitching about, you know, no, mom, you always set me up with some loser or doctor or lawyer and they don't
frogs
like me.
Frogs instead of princes.
Frogs, not princes.
Mm-hmm.
She has this big like blowout fight with her mom and on the phone, and then all of a sudden ding dong, she's like, oh, it's probably Amazon packages, I got these coffee mugs for the girls.
As then, you do
again, ding dong, Amazon usually doesn't ding twice, and then big knock, and she's like, what? Comes to the door, who's there? Coach Harrison.
That's
Coach
right.
Cooper, sorry.
Real
Coach
good Cooper. At ringing her bell more than twice.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he really is.
Don't we know it.
So now they have an argument, big argument. He's like, why would you break up with me with a note? And she's like, why would you ghost me? And he's like following her around the house. They're like circling the couch.
Yeah.
She's just like, his body, weird. I just react to him and he's just chasing her. I'm like, this is where it does get kind of like, baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah.
Because she's resisting, but he's just like, no. This is happening. Like, we're meant to be together. And he's not wrong.
Right.
She just needs to be talked into it and explained. Mm. Because she heard him say, you know, sex is just sex sometimes. And, oh, it's over. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting the full conversation.
Uh-huh. Eavesdropping can be dangerous.
That's what he says.
That's what he says. Mm-hmm.
She doesn't get the part where he tells his sister that he really likes her.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
and she's like, you like me?
You like me? I like you. And he's like, do you want me to write it down like a middle school note and like pass it to you under a desk?
Yes, please.
Which was so funny.
That was cute.
That was hilarious.
That was cute.
So yeah, and then they bang some more in the shower because he's got, well, he has one of his players in the hospital got a drunk driving accident.
Yep. Oh,
he'll never play sports again.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
No. Crashed his car right into a house.
So sad.
Yeah.
Very sad. Incredibly sad. I know many, many sports players that have, but personally, that have gotten into accidents.
Mm.
Not their fault. Some of them were their fault, but
and it ends their career.
Ends their career.
They're done.
Yeah.
Don't drink and drive.
Don't do that.
No, you booze, you lose.
Yeah.
Unless you're drinking smut juice in the safety of your own home.
And you or have delicious, somewhere to
delicious Dr. Lovejoy's main elixir.
Dr. Lovejoy main elixir or Freedom's Edge cider. That's right. But drinking at home safely.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, he's back and forth from the hospital. That's why he hasn't talked to her now in 3 days since their little soiree during the blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, it's done. He doesn't like me. I'm just a bang and go kind of thing, whatever. So she left a breakup letter. He's like, why would you do this? That's why she's upset.
Right.
And he explains what's been going on. He's like, I've been having team meetings, dinners. I've been, you know, trying to, these guys just lost a teammate to a very tragic accident. He's lucky he's alive.
Yeah.
And it brought the team back together. And, you know, he's like, we can make this work. Like, we belong together. We have this chemistry. And I'm not going to ever fault you for being pulled away for your girls. And I'm always going to be devoted to my guys. Like, but we're both the same way. We both mesh well together. And oh God, our mouths and what they do.
There's no denying.
And then she's getting, now she's accepting it and she's getting hot and bothered. And he's like, shit, I'm supposed to be at the hospital with Dexter. Yeah. And I told them I was just coming home to shower. And she's like, well, I have a way that we can both get what we want.
She didn't say you had to shower alone.
Never right? said you had to shower alone. So then they do that. And that's where I left off in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
All right.
So I feel like I'm done with my mansplaining the plot. Yeah. David, I think it's your turn to tell me if I'm wrong.
What really happened?
This is my favorite part.
We talked before the start of the show that I'm going to do this a little bit differently because there's not a lot that really goes on that Matt didn't really touch on.
A lot of bump and uglies and drinking cocoa.
There's a fair amount of bump and uglies.
The mouth stuff.
The first 100 pages or so of the book is really just these two kind of feeling each other out. No pun intended.
Feeling each other up.
You know, they know that they've had this interaction before. They're not really talking about it until they have to, you know, literally survive a blizzard stripped down to their base clothes. They're not completely naked.
Right.
Not yet.
But, you know, he apologizes profusely. And then, all of that baggage. To back up a little bit, everything that you talked about in the beginning, yeah, that's a big chunk of the first part of the book. Mm-hmm. And dear listeners, I forgot to say that this podcast is full of spoilers. So if you want to pause and take this journey with us, go ahead. We'll be here when we get back.
Yeah.
The majority of this book is about two people who thought they would never get along because they are just polar opposites. He thought she was too high maintenance. She thought that he was just this grumpy old cantankerous, well, not old, but, you know, grumpy, hot cantankerous dude.
He's just stoic is all.
Only to discover through jumbled emotions and very, very high chemistry that they go together, to quote the great Forrest Gump, like peas and carrots.
And he's got the heart of a lion. And even at the end of the book, she says he looks like a lion.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's got some other good parts, too.
He's got some other good parts. I think she actually quotes at one point, you got a good dick.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right out there with
and
it.
And that he knows part. How to use it. Uh-huh.
So after the broken window, she inadvertently stabs herself. You mentioned that?
Yeah, she
And this is where we find out that Becca doesn't really like blood, because this is how Harrison finds her.
She passes out.
He does the gentlemanly thing, and he's just like, you got this broken window. I've got tools. I can come help you, you know, put it together, make sure that you're going to stay safe and warm and all that jazz.
Right.
And yeah, finds her half shirtless, passed out on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was wondering how that worked out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So and he's just like, damn, nice bra. Great rack.
Great,
of course, great. Those are
all the intro models.
Not the first book we've read where there's great rack. Also, speaking of being snowed in for Christmas, it just started snowing here.
Oh my God.
Oh, it did.
Mm. How perfect.
Yeah, we might all be snowed in here with some great rack.
Serendipitous.
Yeah, I said it.
So he cleans her up, helps her tarp up the window. And then and then goes about his merry way. He's like, you know, if anything happens, you know, well, I'll be right next door. All the girls are gone for the holidays and they're getting out of there before the weather hits. And then we find our dear Becca alone in the giant house and it's freezing inside. It's like 37 degrees by the thermostat. And it's because the power has gone out. And she's thinking, you know what? I can just make a fire to keep warm, because yes, they do have a fireplace in this big old Illinois house.
Right.
But she only got 3 logs.
Oh no.
She's about to get another one.
So oh, that was well done.
Get it together.
But no fear.
You should expect that.
No
from
fear.
Me by
she's
now.
Got she's got kitchen chairs and a table that she can burn.
Oh no!
And this is where
there's varnish on that. It's terrible for your health.
This is where Harrison swoops in and he's good. I've got all the logs, including the one that
he's got the log.
And he's just like,
one.
she's trying to talk her way out of it. She's like, no, I'll be fine. He's like, it's -40. You have no means of heat.
I have
all the wood, just come over and stay with me until this is all taken care of. Right. And then the majority of this book it reads out like a rom-com.
So
Becca is outgoing. Harrison is reserved. Becca is a planner and also very connected with her girls, which Harrison is not with his team until he gets with Becca. And he's like, oh, man, Look at the insight that she is able to. And that's, I think at that point, that's when he started falling in love with her, is when she was able to show him how to reconnect with his team. And unfortunately, later in the book, it took a tragedy to do it.
Yeah.
But during that time, during the player's recovery time in the hospital, this is when Harrison steps up and he starts to like invite them over for big dinners. And, you know, while they're all waiting for this guy to get out of the hospital, you know, it's really, really cool. It's about two polar opposites finding that they are very much attracted to each other.
Yeah, and sometimes it sucks, but tragedy really can bring people together.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the middle of it, and Carla and Phoebe got to read the steamy parts.
Yeah, we did.
But you also, I know you didn't get to feel a lot of the buildup,
no.
But you did get to read a little bit of the aftermaths. And yes. Believe it or not, that was part of the buildups. You know, with her flingy fling, it's just a fling, fling, flingy, flingy, fling, fling.
This is the flingy fling, the blizzard fling.
And he's just the most handsomest man ever, the most handsomest man in the world.
Can't be around him without trembling. Her thighs are getting wet with the thought of his touch.
That definitely happens. That definitely happens.
Jokes, man. We are 6 to noon and we are dripping. Not yeah. Great in a blizzard with no heat.
You and it wanna, wasn't it nope. Wasn't until Harrison saw Becca with her shirt off that he kind of realized, damn, maybe I did kind of miss up on a good thing.
Missed up on that great rack.
Then they get through the blizzard with the help of some very R-rated cuddling. Thank you, Miss Snow, for that analogy.
Yes.
By the way, I want to use that all the time. R-rated cuddling. I think that's fantastic.
You've been using it since I handed you this book.
And
He's been using it way longer.
Okay. And also some pretty hot sex, mind-blowing sex. But we will get all of that in our next segment.
Heck yeah.
After some misunderstanding about feelings and the car crash involvement. So what happens at the towards the end, and what you guys didn't hear, is the blizzard's over. The blizzard's over, and Becca's got all of her things. She's getting ready to go back to the house, and she's going kind of like, Harrison has disappeared into his room, and she's trying to say goodbye and be like, I felt like this was more than just blizzard buddy fun time.
Yeah.
I feel like there was some serious feelings going on. Mm. So she's trying to convey this, and all she hears from him is, no, it's over. Don't say anything else. And so that's where she gets flustered and upset.
Yeah.
And then, you know, leaves. But Becca being Becca, being the awesome person that she is, she swallows her pride and it's just like, okay, if that's what it was, that's what it was. All
just
right.
A good old-fashioned blizzard
just
bang
session. Just a good old-fashioned blizzard buddy bang session. Unbeknownst to her, that was when Harrison got the phone call about his teammate. Team member. That was the moment that Harrison got the phone call about his team member. He was on the phone talking to somebody else and had no idea that she was even speaking to him. And that's where they kind of hash things out, when they're circling the couch like sharks.
Big misunderstanding.
Yeah, it was all just a huge misunderstanding.
And he just steps over the couch.
Yeah, because he's like 6'5", 6'6". He's,
like,
he's supposed to be taller than you are.
He's just like, let's go. I'm about 6'5" and a half. But yeah. Just fucking gazelles over the couch. And she's just like, oh, that's hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, this works. Yeah. And then, so they couch cuddle.
Yeah, they hash things out in some more R-rated, sexy, muddled way and get there happily ever after. Before we get to the steamy parts, Phoebe, do you want to tell us what happens at the end of the book?
I would love
because
to.
You cheated read the last chapter.
I
broke the rules.
We bend and break the rules all the time on this show, dear listeners.
I got so wrapped up into this because I touched base with this really quickly, is that this story reminded me so much of Matt's and my story that, like, it was ridiculous. And I'm like, I gotta keep going. So
you need closure.
Yeah, I really did.
Did they end up going to the New Year's Eve party
they did.
With mom?
They did. So they reconciled and they were like, yes, we really do belong together. This is, yes.
Peas and carrots.
Yes. And what he said, she gets dressed up and she looks gorgeous, and he is just like, oh my God, I love this woman.
Yep.
And we've only been together for like 2 weeks, but I am in love with her.
10 days, but who's counting?
Right. Well, whatever. I don't know. I didn't know. I don't know. I just.
But when you know, you know.
Yeah, you do. Nothing.
He did say that he missed out on 2 years because he didn't get back to her soon enough.
Yes. Yeah.
And
so
that's 2 years that he'll never get back. That he'll always try to be making up for.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And she was like explaining this whole time, like, my parents, you know, like, they're really finicky, they're going to be weird and da da da. my dad's super protective. So her, they're driving up and he's like, well, prepare me for your family and da 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 da. So she gives them a brief little thing. And then immediately the mom knows exactly who he is. She knows he ghosted her 2 years ago. She knows.
Calls him out on it.
Yeah.
Oh. No, calls him out.
Up,
yeah.
Straight up was like, oh, you're the guy that she just spent a couple of weeks with or a week with and blah, blah, blah.
She
and
just pulled you a steak knife off the table.
Yeah, straight up. And the dad's like, hey, why don't we go get a drink together, buddy?
Double bourbon. Dad, rocks.
Even though he like comes up to this dude's shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
bravo,
so,
daddy.
Yeah. So,
it's like your dad threatening me. All
I
the
know.
Time, right? It's fun. We have a good banter back and forth. It's a good time. He threatened to kick me out a window.
He
one
did.
Time.
He did.
Yeah, he's like, I'll kick you straight out that window.
Anyway, what does he
I
say?
I believe him too.
What does Harrison say to her father?
Harrison says straight up to the dad at the bar, I intend in a year to ask your daughter to marry me. I am in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
After 10 days, that's
yes.
why. Yes. He's going.
Yeah. And
full tilt.
Meeting your parents for the first time.
The dad's like, well, I'm super protective. She is my everything. And Harrison's like, yeah, she is my everything too. And then he goes on to explain why she is his everything.
Oh, he gets into details.
Yes.
A lot.
It's so sweet.
It's this whole thing like, she is my sunshine. And his dad was like, that's what I always used to call her.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, still does.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, chills.
It was so cute. It was so cute.
Okay, wait a minute. Is this book written by a man or a woman?
A woman.
A woman. Yeah. Jacqueline Snow, if that is her real name.
Yeah.
So do men actually think like
that's
that?
How I feel too. I'm like, what?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
As I stare longingly across the bar.
It is true.
We
confirm.
Think like that. We don't always say it.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, you should. Just saying.
Did I not just make a lovingly announcement on the Facebook last night?
You did.
I did.
It was very cute.
So the proposal.
Oh my God.
Is the very last
chapter.
Oh
my God.
And it's fantastic.
This is why you wouldn't let me read it.
It's
fantastic.
It was the best.
He gets all the girls involved.
Yes.
Of course.
And gives Becca a whole, because it's a year later, it's Christmas time, gives Becca a whole litany of presents that he handmade himself, because Becca always says that a handmade gift is always better than a card.
Yeah, and
were
she's
they
also,
well made? Or?
No, he made a pod holder.
He
learned how to knit.
She loves the knitting.
She's a perfectionist, but it was so imperfect. But she loved it because she knew he spent so much time learning how to do it.
Oh
my God.
And the fact that
really sweet.
And the fact that he got all the girls involved in the sorority to be a part of the proposal. And then he goes through all the presents and she's just like, this is really, and then all the girls kind of like go downstairs and they all follow her, and then he finally gets down on one knee and gets her this beautiful engagement ring that has a very small diamond in it, but then is surrounded by colorful gemstones to make it look like a flower.
Yes.
Like her bright personality.
So, but like before they go to the New Year's Eve party, which I forgot to say, he spent like all this time like finding the perfect bouquet of flowers for her. And he was like, I was going to get her roses because that's romantic, but that's not her.
Right.
So he got her this bouquet of like random, very colorful, bright, beautiful
flowers.
Yeah, that her
and
that
she
sister
was
picked
obsessed
out.
With it. Yeah, it was so cute. So the ring reminded them both of that bouquet, basically, and her sunshine personality. It was so cute. Oh my God,
really
I'm obsessed.
And there's only a few times when Becca, because she's a strong woman.
Yeah.
There's only a couple of times in the book that she cries, but my favorite one is when he actually gives her her Christmas present that year. And a little precursor, she was obsessed as a child with going to Barcelona. She wanted to go to Barcelona. Then her mom got sick, cancer. And of course, Becca being Becca was just like, nope, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to take care of you and make sure that you're okay. Her mom was furious
with
it. So Phoebe, what did Mr. Harrison get?
So he got her, he must have traveled, I assume, with the team to Barcelona at some point in his football coaching career and had this funky like cup, and it was like a bowl
with balls. No, he just special ordered it.
Oh, he did.
He did a little research.
I don't know, but
he also bought her tickets.
Yes.
To go.
Yes.
And
so
live.
He gave Barcelona. Her this cup, yes. And she thought it was so hysterical. But then he's like, well, there's more to the present, and there's tickets to Barcelona. And she just
burst out crying.
Loses.
Yep.
It.
That was the first time that she so completely cute. And totally so lost cute. Her shit and started
yep.
crying.
Yep.
I welled up a little bit. I did too.
I really did too. 5 o'clock this morning. Like, oh my God.
Because we don't sleep. So we just wake up and start reading our smut.
And before we go to our next segment, let's hear from our sponsor, shall we?
Yeah, let's take a quick sponsorship break and hear from Dr. Lovejoy. Hey, everyone, it's me, your boy, Matt. You know, here at Paperback Bromance, we like to drink boxed wine, aka smut juice, while we're recording. But when I'm looking for a break from alcohol, I love to go to Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs. They've got the citrus social tonic that will get you up and ready for any occasion. There's the strawberry bliss that's great for chilling out on the couch and watching a movie, reading a book, or watching your favorite sports team. Of course, at night, there's the blueberry nightcap. I drink one every night, and I sleep like a baby. Paperback Bromance is brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs, the low-dose way to unwind your day. And we're back.
And now I am so excited to bring us to our next and last segment of the episode, and probably the most fun. That's right. It is Carla and Phoebe are going to read the extra steamy. When the steamy is super extra hot, we bring in Carla so Phoebe doesn't have to do this with just us, because that is just cruel.
Yeah, but it comes with a bit of a disclaimer. If you're my father or my sons, stop listening now.
Please, please do.
Carla and Phoebe, read the extra steamy.
Hi, Carla.
Hi.
I'm so excited you're here.
I'm so happy to be here.
Oh my goodness.
This book was a lot of fun, and I only read like 4 pages, so I kind of want to pick it up and read the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I read was hot.
Yeah, I had to put the book down for a few minutes because like I got very hot and bothered.
Yeah, right when we were trying to go to bed, it's just okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Matthew. Right before you had to go to bed,
well, your daughter was saying goodnight to you, and
you were like,
"There's a bed full of cats," and you're just like, "Oh boy,
my God,
where's the fan?"
Yeah. Yeah, so that first scene where they finally get together.
I loved how it started with her being asleep, but not realizing that she's asleep.
Yeah.
And he has no clue that she's not fully awake. And they're just like going for it. And then they realize,
wait,
oh,
was this a sleep assault?
No.
It wasn't a sneaky.
And this wasn't during the titty cupping, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yes,
it was the titty cupping.
It was.
She's like,
it was. He clarifies. He asks her straight up, are you awake? And she says, yes.
And then he just grabs a boobie?
No, he was.
He already was.
He was like, already.
It's like they were doing it in each other's sleep. Like, they were both fantasizing about each other.
Oh, essentially,
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
But also, to be snuggling for warmth.
He got to cop a free deal.
About touching each other, and they're
then,
just, wow.
He did feel really bad that she was like, she kind of snapped out of it. She was like, oh my God. And
he
did
straight up
feel
says,
bad.
Like, sleeping women aren't my thing. Like,
yeah, no, he felt really, really bad about it, but it was very erotic.
It was very hot. Yeah, for sure.
R-rated cuddling.
It was just some innocent R-rated cuddling, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it wasn't even that R-rated.
No.
It was just so hot. And then when he realized she was awake and starts trying to seduce her again and is just telling her word by word, like, all the things that he's going to do to her and watching her
react.
It
was so sexy. Oh my God. That was very, this is when Phoebe had to put the book down because I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, just with his words.
Yo.
Yeah, pretty hot.
And that was a whole point was like she was just like, how is this guy like turning me on with just his words?
And it starts getting really hot and then boom, there's like a loud noise and he's like, oh crap, I gotta go see
what
that was.
Window.
You're like, instant cock
block.
Another
broken window.
It's a recurring theme like the hot chocolate.
Instant cock block.
They're having some nice hot cocoa and whiskey. They're sleeping by the fire.
No, the whiskey's much later.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
getting,
no.
he's getting hands, and then boom, tree branch falls through a window.
Essentially, yeah.
Next thing I saw, they're by the fireside, yep. And he's like frozen solid. I'm assuming he has to go fix something in the storm.
Yeah, so he had to go fix the window.
The window broke in his basement.
And then he, like, she's like, oh, my God, you're not dressed for this. Like, he basically went down there in just his PJ bottoms because they were about to, you know.
Get down.
Mm-hmm. And then the window breaks. So he goes rushing down and she comes to help him because he's taking forever. And she's like, oh, my God, is he okay? You know, so he's freezing. So then they cuddle up again in the fire again, because I get really wrapped up into this and I started reading a lot more than I probably should have.
You know, but maybe that was my intention.
You know what? I think it was, you sneaky Pete. Anyway. So.
Sneaky Peter.
I know. That's not what I said, but yeah.
That's anyway. How I took it.
Okay, so they end up, he fixes the window, they work together and they fix the window as quickly as possible because he is freezing, like chattering teeth kind of thing. She's bundled up in blankets because he's like, no, don't get cold and sick and whatever.
He's turning blue in more ways than one.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, for sure.
Oh my God, bro. He literally says he gets blue balls.
He's got blue lips and blue balls.
Oh yeah.
He's turning into real. Papa Smurf mm-hmm. real quick.
Yeah. So then they're like, well, you know, like survival mode kicks into gear and they're like, well, if we strip down more so then
share the body heat. Yeah, yeah. I learned that
but
Boy
for
Scouts.
Real though.
Yeah, like, that's what my scout.
You know what else makes
me.
Heat? Friction.
Oh yeah.
Yes, it does. So she wakes up the next morning to him. No, he wakes up the next morning to him, her caressing him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
She's yanking his chain?
No, nails in the chest.
But
baby.
It's like,
his
again,
broad
it's
expanse of chest.
In their sleep, kind
Is
of
it
thing.
Furry? Does he got furry
yeah.
chest? No, it's
no.
It's
just well chiseled.
He works out, bro.
Well, that you can be working out and still have a furry chest.
No, he definitely waxes.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Does she?
I don't know.
They won't get, all right. I'm just asking the tough
questions. About him.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just asking the tough
Anyway,
questions.
So he wakes her up like, hey, Becca, like you are, like you're doing stuff. And she's like, oh my God.
I kind of
Carla.
Like it was pretty hot, but I was also like fascinated by the emotions that went through Becca after they, you know, had sex the first time. And then instantly he's like, hey, this was awesome. And she gets She's all like weirded out and is already thinking about ending it. And like from seconds after they finish.
Right. Because like he's like.
Finish or.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That. Uh-huh. So
and they use protection.
They do.
Not a dental dam, but at least a condom.
Yes. They mentioned that multiple times, which props.
I need a condom.
Right. You always wear your raincoat. Like,
oh my God, be quick.
Raincoat, Jimmy Cat.
Not with the men usually here.
No.
Seatbelt, you know, always wear your seatbelt.
But I lost my dream.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We were talking about how Becca was feeling remorseful after that first time.
As the times go on, she becomes more and more connected and doesn't seem to be as reluctant.
He keeps like saying, you know, like, oh, we're blizzard buddies or something, right? Yeah. What was the term? I forget.
Blizzard buddies.
Yeah.
Snowpocalypse sex.
So she's doing this thing in her head, like, I never do one night stands, but like he said, it's cool. So I'm just going to play it cool. Play it cool, Becca. Play it cool.
And
like
it's a blizzard,
over and over
so it's
again.
Like a three night
and
stand.
She's trying, she's fighting her feelings so bad. But what I love about this book is because it does switch back and forth, that it also goes to his train of thought and he's like, play it cool.
Yes, they're the exact same thing.
Like they're
trying to play it cool.
The same thing.
It's like, oh, my ex-wife was so awful.
Yeah,
and she's just
sucked.
Like, yeah,
and
she
this
sounds
girl is
awful.
Awesome. This girl is amazing. And she
makes me laugh.
Yeah, she does everything different and
colorful to his grays.
This is all sounding very
literally.
Familiar to me.
Yeah.
You
for
don't
weird
say.
Reasons.
So anyway, so let's see. Then we get to the storm's over. They go to Christmas at his sister's house.
Yep.
Now she puts them, his sister, puts them in separate rooms. She makes a makeshift like guest room for him and then gives her the guest room
officially.
And his sister knows. She's like, yeah. The jig is up, buddy.
Reads him like a book.
Yeah. You're busted.
He's like, oh my God, I can't get my hands off of this woman. So he tries to sneak into Becca's guest room in the middle of the night. His sister catches him red-handed.
She was waiting.
Yeah. Red-handed.
She was waiting for him.
She's like,
like
I
in the
you.
Shadows.
Yes, literally.
She just
literally.
Pops out of the closet
basically.
Where are you going,
yes,
mister?
Literally verbatim. Verbatim.
I was very confused by this scene.
Yeah. Because you didn't have a lot of context.
I had no idea they had left his house or the blizzard and all the sister was there all the time. And
imagine how I feel. I just read and the start and then almost the end.
So it was this is like Christmas dinner is essentially what they're having. Uh-huh. So the ride over there is kind of tense and she's trying to be aloof, but then she meets his nieces and nephews. And
how did he convince her to go to Christmas dinner with his family when they're just,
there was a conversation that he had with his sister over the phone, and Becca's family was too far for her to travel.
Right.
His sister lived like 15 minutes away.
Yep. And so, his parents flew out to California to go see the bowl. For the man child that is his brother.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite parts at his sister's house is she kind of tells him, like, you don't have to spend time with this family, part of your family, if you don't want to. You don't have to put up with this crap. He sounds like a man child. Call him out on his bullshit.
Yeah.
And then he does.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's fantastic. Yeah. And he's just like, I think that was when it really solidified with him. I love this woman.
Yeah.
That's like a great touch, because every family has that drama around the holidays. Oh, yeah. So to throw it in there as a way to support relationship.
Yeah. Certainly. So
something I didn't talk about in the epilogue.
Sure.
Is that she meets his brother.
That's where
for the first time when they get first engaged, because he invites
everybody's there.
His sister, his brother, he's trying to rekindle a relationship with.
Due to her.
Becca.
Yep, due to Becca saying like, hey.
So she meets his brother and she's like, oh, you're the asshole.
Basically,
Pretty much.
Literally, yes.
Saw that
That's
coming.
Amazing.
She was like, I think it's nice to meet you, maybe.
And he's like, oh, I like her.
He's like, do you have a sister?
which breaks the ice.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like everybody gets a good
whole
chuckle.
Sorority of sisters.
It was really cute. So that does kind of bring them a little bit around. But Harrison has a really good relationship with his sister. So he's spending Christmas with her and his niece and nephew.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah.
Nieces and nephews.
Yeah. Nieces. Oh,
or
I don't
nephews
know.
And niece.
I don't remember. Anyway.
There are three kids. He calls them monsters, but loves them unconditionally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Becca is fantastic with them.
Yes. And he keeps thinking in his head, like over and over again, like, oh my God, my niece is going to love Becca just because she's so colorful and just kind of wild and just her true self. And he's like, my niece is going to love her. And clearly his sister picks that up just in Christmas dinner is like, oh, my God, like my kids love her. Like she's awesome. Your ex-wife sucked, but this woman is amazing.
And then they have some pretty banging sex.
It's amazing how kids
can
help you see the truth.
Yeah. So he has this whole conversation with his sister outside of Becca's door.
Oh, that's a wise place.
Yeah, not
good choice.
Sounds smart. Yeah, good
time. Yeah, so he says to her, he's like, I really do like this woman. Like, I really, really do. But I don't know how to really sort out my feelings, but I do know for a fact I like her. However, then he says this one little sentence that sex is just sex sometimes. Because he's still trying to fool himself, I think.
Yeah, and that's all she hears.
I feel like he's trying
Becca hears it on the other side of the door.
I feel like he's trying to give himself and his own feelings like an out. Like, hey, if this doesn't work out, like if she's only here for the sex, then I can deal with
that. That's literally it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean,
and she's doing the same thing to herself.
Yeah. They're both in their own heads questioning.
And she hears it and she's just like, all right, well, that was
he just wants the sex.
Blizzard bang buddies. Yeah. That's all he wanted. Yes. I got it. It was great.
And then they had some more and it was really hot.
That
when
was
they're like, we just have to be quiet.
Which they are not.
No.
No, they really are.
No.
Sounds they are familiar. Not quiet.
Oh my God.
Yes. I mean, probably a well-made bed, but oh my word.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really.
They might need to retighten some screws.
That was a toe curler.
So what I did enjoy about this, because it does kind of bring that, like, their conflicting feelings come back around, is like she sees a flash in him of remorse, essentially. Like, she's only thinking this is a thing, but I really like her. And he sees the same thing in her. He sees this flash of, like, she's sad. I don't want to make her feel this way. Like, what is going on? But, like, he just is like, I just want this woman for the rest of my life. Like, he already knows. And I think for me, in the romance level, that makes that whole scene the most sexy.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, I agree.
Fair.
Mm. One of the things I loved about the whole book was, or the three parts that I read.
Yeah.
was how much consent played a role.
Yes.
Like, he didn't do anything important without getting permission first. Like, the first thing he says is, are you awake?
Yes.
You know?
And he asks multiple times.
Multiple times. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that.
Yes.
And that he was so focused on only doing what she was comfortable with,
yes,
taking the time to find out what does she like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was very a nice build up.
Yes. Yeah, because there is a scene where she gets very drunk, but she's
what does he do? Feeds her saltine crackers and water.
Yep, before they even do any of things, and she does come around.
Oh yeah, she does.
But like, he really makes sure, like, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? And she's like, yeah.
Well,
like,
yeah,
shut the book up. Like, we're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Yeah.
All right. So I guess this book definitely was written by a woman, because I don't know if a man would put all that in there.
True story.
They often don't.
No.
I mean, I'm not saying that men are just going to try to slip it in as soon as everything's drunk. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But I think this is definitely Jacqueline Snow, maybe a pen name, but definitely a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm hearing pictures on the back.
I have a couple of.
Oh, yeah. Her picture is in the
more
back. Yeah.
Things. I want to read a couple of excerpts to Carla.
Oh.
That I didn't mark for her.
I'm very excited for
excerpt time.
Yeah. This is Phoebe actually reads the steamy.
Oh, she's going to read the steamy?
All right, let's hear it.
Steamy. I brought my lips to hers, taking all the time in the world, telling her without words what her gift meant. Yeah, it was an odd gift. But that was just the thing.
Love it. That just captures the whole energy of their vibe together, where it doesn't have to be this perfect thing. They accept each other's.
Yeah. And she did. She gave him a really weird gift.
What was it?
But
oh, it was a log with the googly eyes on it.
Yeah.
It's a traditional.
Oh, she gave him the wood back, huh?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
She did.
No, it's a tradition in Spain that she looked up.
The Christmas log.
Yes.
And it poops out candy.
So, yes. Yes. And Carla knows this because one of her childhood friends, their mother is from Spain. So wow. Carla knew about the Christmas log that poops candy.
I love it. But what
when
I loved
when you
about
beat it with a stick. You have to beat it with a stick.
You got to beat it first.
You have to beat that wood to get the candy.
And that's the whole thing about all their gifts. They're
I don't
so
want to touch that
weird.
One. I don't.
Wow, but one that Matt won't touch. That's pretty impressive.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about beating wood, I can go all day.
We got another answer.
So what I loved specifically about that sentence, it really stood out to me because he was trying to express his love to her through a kiss. Mm-hmm. And that is, like, to me, one of the most
super romantic.
Romantic things you could do as a man, FYI.
Hi.
All right.
And all right.
One more excerpt.
One more. Now, this comes a little bit before that. But
so this is early on in the story?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He said, you might have read this. He said, God, Becca, you're beautiful. I slid inside her. Without mutual sighs of satisfaction filling the air, I moved inside her for several moments before moaning into her hair. You feel so good.
6 to noon.
Yes. This is when Phoebe had to put the book down.
Yes,
that
yet
was
again.
A very good scene.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And then the daughter and all the cats came in.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, God. What? Now, okay. Now, this is the last thing I want to talk about. I loved this book because it reminded me of Matt and my story, like, so much. Like, Matt and I were best friends.
We have a very long story.
A long story, and we're not going to go into it. We don't need to, but what is important is that we did start out as kind of like these, like, blizzard buddies, we'll call
that's,
it.
That's a way to say it.
Yeah, that's what we're going to call it. And
the funny thing is, I brought that up with David, like, immediately after it happened. We were having boys lunch.
Oh, my
lunch.
God.
We're sitting at a bar, and he's just like, you should hang out with Phoebe more. And I'm just like, hey.
So
are blizzard buddies. And he's like, hell yeah, high five.
That's embarrassing. Anyway.
Now it's on the record.
Yeah.
It now it's on the record, there it and is. Now we're all family.
Yeah. But what was also funny was that, like, I may or may not have said very shortly into our blizzard buddy relationship, I love you.
It was real fast.
Real fast.
It was within a month.
When you know, you know.
And yeah.
Took me 2 weeks.
And right?
Took him 10 days. Damn.
See? Yeah. See? Works. Yeah. But then, like, there was this whole, like, back and forth, like, oh, no, he only wants me as his friend or, blah, you know, or vice versa. And it just.
Oh, no way.
It was so funny. It just, this book just made me smile just because it reminded me so much
of
that.
A lot of nostalgia.
That.
Sure,
yes,
sure.
It yeah, was it, so cute.
It was very us.
Yeah.
You know, first it was friends and like, oh, well, if you meet someone, then this is done.
But he never ghosted you for 2 years.
No.
First date, right?
Oh,
cool.
My God. Ew. I probably would have murdered him. He knows.
No.
That. All right, Phoebe, Carla.
Let's rate this book.
Rate that steamy.
On a scale of 1 to 5.
Yeah. You know what? We'd call it the steamy. So on a scale of, oh, let's say a gentle simmer to a full on pressure cooker. How steamy?
I'd like to hear Phoebe's rating first.
Okay. I did have to put this book down just to kind of calm down.
You had to put Get in My Swamp down.
Well, yeah. Can you blame me for
obvious.
That? You told me I was going to.
That was a steam whistle. Now, are you kidding me? I thought we were going to have to stop the train for that one.
Oh, my word.
I have to say for me, because I know sometimes I rate it romance and steamy, it's a 5 out of 5 for both on my end, personally.
So we're going full on pressure cooker. Yeah. Like,
yeah, we just blew a valve.
That steam, right? You have to pop that valve.
Oh. I don't know, Carla, you're more experienced than I am with these books.
I have read quite a few books on all ends of the spectrum. I'd say romance, and keep in mind, I only read about 5 pages
right.
of the whole book.
Yeah.
The romance, I'd say, was like a 6 or 7 mm-hmm. out of 10.
Okay.
Okay.
And uh-huh. I'd put this.
That would be a full boil.
I'd put the steamy at like a 6.
Okay.
Oh, we're going full Boston Marathon.
Boston Marathon.
That's in bad taste. But
hey, if you were to rate this 1 to 5 on both levels, let's go 1 to 5.
1 to 5. Okay. Yeah. One to 5.
She can exceed the level
I would definitely.
Yeah.
But
1 to 5, I'd say 4 for romance, 3 for steam.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah.
The water's bubbling, but it's not really at a full burn yet.
I would have liked to have read from her perspective some of the sexy parts as opposed to just Harrison.
Me too.
Is that how it goes?
It does.
All the sex is
all
from,
the
his,
sex from his perspective.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, it started with her, with him like doing all the wordplay, and that was fucking hot. Awesome. I can't.
Yeah, that was really
wow.
hot.
6 to noon.
Yep. Yep.
6 to noon. Yeah,
I think he might
Senator
even say
just
6
died,
to noon.
Like, no, does he?
I'm pretty
That's
sure.
That's my sense.
I don't know if he says it.
It's pretty freaking cool.
I might need to copyright that because that's my thing.
That
anyway.
Cuddling
anyway.
All right, Matt.
But all right, guys.
I really enjoyed it. And
it
I'm
was,
gonna.
It was amazing.
Carla, thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, okay, my word. We appreciate the backup for Phoebe. That,
heck yeah. I need it sometimes, guys.
Very happy that we had Carla join us for this episode. It was amazing. Once again, this is Paperback Bromance brought to you by Dr. Lovejoy's Maine Made Elixirs. As always, I have been Matt.
And I'm Phoebe, who reads a steamy.
Paperback Bromance is written by David Joseph, produced and edited by Matt Mulray. Marketing and socials fall on Matt. Phoebe is our giggly sidekick, and she does the fine artwork. Carla is here for the steamy and only the steamy. Our book this episode was Snowed In for Christmas by Jacqueline Snow, copyright 2023. Our intro music is Devil in the Bottle by Iconics, found on the Free Music Archive. Please like, follow, rate, review, drink Dr. Lovejoy's Maid Made Elixirs, and we will see you next time, dear listeners.
Bye.